and gentlemen, Ed Bowsman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord Jesus depart from iniquity. It is written, by what power or in what name have you done this? It is written, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the home and in the temple, they ceased not to preach Jesus as the Christ. Jesus was on this wise. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But when he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then, where'er you go. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. When temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy, with his loving arms receiving us, and his songs our tongues employ. At that name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of Kings, in heaven we'll crown him when our journey is complete.
For God is just a prayer away.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel sermon, the name of Jesus. Listen to Paul as he tells us in Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and gave unto him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things on the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus is above every name. Consider how Peter said to the man lame from his birth, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Paul spoke to the demon and the maid in Acts chapter 16. I charge thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. Jesus said, whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Listen to Peter again in Acts 2, repent ye and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus in the Scripture is called by many names, and each name helps us see him from a different perspective. So here are a few of the terms that describe the one whose name is above every name in heaven and on earth. One of those names is the name wonderful. Isaiah 9 says, unto us is given, unto us a child is born, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. He was wonderful in his birth. There never was another like it. Gabriel told Mary, the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee, wherefore the holy thing which is begotten shall be called the Son of God. He was wonderful in his life. In John 8, he issued the challenge to his enemies when he said, Which of you convicteth me of sin? There were no takers. In Hebrews 4, it is said that he was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. He was wonderful in his death. He tasted of death once for every man. At his death, he felt the chill, shadow, and guilt of every sin that was ever committed, and the horror of going into an endless eternity without hope. He was wonderful in his resurrection. The only resurrected person who never died again after being raised from the dead. And that reminds us that his name is also called the Prince of Peace. When the Lord Jesus was born, the heavenly host appeared to the shepherds and proclaimed, Glory to God in the highest! Peace on earth, goodwill to men! It looks like the angels were mistaken. As we hear the news concerning the possibility of the next terrorist attack and the possibility of World War III, the problem lies in the fact that mankind has overlooked the first part of the angelic message. Glory to God in the highest. How can it be said that America has given glory to God in the highest with such laws permitting abortion? And when the name Jesus Christ cannot be used in public prayer, they say we should not bring religion into politics. So why do they bring politics into religion? By having prayer and then insist on leaving the name of Jesus out of it. Jesus is still the Prince of Peace, just in case anybody wants him. Not only is he the Prince of Peace, but he's also called the Great I Am. When the band of soldiers came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus went forth and saith unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. When therefore he said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell on the ground. Again therefore he asked them, Whom seek ye? Jesus answered again, I told you, I am. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. What a demonstration of the power of Jesus when several hundred soldiers fell down backwards with a simple declaration, I am. Only when he is of one accord, withdrew the power, were they able to arrest him. Think also if they fell before him when he stood before them, clad in the rags of mortal flesh. What will it be like when these miserable wretches are called into their graves and stand before him in all his glory, surrounded by angels? Many times the title of I Am was used by Jesus. He said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. He said, I am the door of the sheep. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. If a man believe in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. If a man live and believe in me, he shall never die. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the Son of God. God hath given unto him a name that is above every name. His name is the great I Am. And ladies and gentlemen, his name is also called the Root out of dry ground. Isaiah 53, verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus, the name that is above every name, is the root out of dry ground. There's no way to explain how a beautiful rose growing in the arid dryness of the desert could happen. This is the situation with Jesus. How can you explain his life? There was nothing at Nazareth that would bring forth such a life as the rose of Sharon. It was proverbial that nothing could come out of Nazareth that was any good. Even his enemies could not explain him. In John 7:15, they were confounded with his knowledge and said, Whence hath this man letters, having never learned? Jesus told them how he learned when he said, My teaching is not mine, but his that sent me. There was nothing in his surroundings to explain him except to say with Isaiah, He is as a tender plant, brought up like a root out of dry ground. And another name of Jesus is a name, the Bright and Morning Star. In the last chapter of Revelation, Jesus called himself the Bright and Morning Star. This was the fulfillment of the prophecy of a reluctant prophet named Balaam. In Numbers 24, he said, A star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall arise out of Israel. That prophecy was fulfilled at the birth of Jesus. There were two stars when Jesus was born, the star in the sky and the star in the manger. The stars in the heaven were reliable guides to the ships at sea, especially in the days of the sailing vessels. One time a sailor was told to take the wheel and keep his eye on a certain star. Hours later, the captain appeared and found the ship off course. He said, I thought I told you to keep your eye on that star. The sailor said, I did, but we passed that star 2 hours ago. Jesus, the bright and morning star, is a sure guide for the old ship of Zion. Keep your eye on the bright and morning star. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves around me roll, hiding rocks and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Think, too, the bright and morning star is a reminder of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. The morning star is the brightest star in the heavens and appears just before sunrise. That title of Jesus is a reminder of the return of the Lord when we consider that he said three times in the last chapter of Revelation, I come quickly. What a comfort to think of the Lord Jesus as the bright and morning star. Near the cross a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed its beams around me. We need to think also that the bright and morning star never changes. The stars that we see in the heavens in the 21st century are the same stars that shone down on the apostles when the Lord walked on earth. Job in chapter 9, verse 9, mentions the great star Arcturus and the constellation Orion. How much more is that true of the bright and morning star? People today in their 80s and 90s can still remember how they chanted in their childhood, the same nursery rhyme as the children today. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are, up above the world so high like a diamond in the sky. Jesus is that bright and morning star, but his name is also called Emmanuel. When Gabriel announced the coming birth of Jesus to Joseph, it was said, the prophecy was fulfilled, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which is by interpretation God with us. Jesus is with us in his birth because he was born just as we are born, God with us. He was subject to the same temptations of humanity, God with us. He is with us in evangelism. He said in the Great Commission, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God with us. He is with us in death. He died like the rest of us. And beyond that, he tasted of death once for every man. And he will be with the Christian at the moment of death. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. His name is also called Emmanuel, God with us. That name is above every name, in heaven and on earth. Then there's the name of the resurrection and the life. Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. Jesus is the resurrection. That is his name. There are several people who have been raised from the dead, but he's the only one who deserves that title. In the scripture, there were several resurrections. In the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha raised the dead. Then in the New Testament, three by the hand of the Lord Jesus, the widow of Nain's son, the daughter of Jairus, and the resurrection of the rotting corpse of Lazarus. Then there was one by Peter in the resurrection of Dorcas, and one by Paul, a young man fell out the window and was taken up dead. Now, if I could call the roll of all those who have died and been raised up, I could stand at the grave of the widow of Nain's son and say, Where art thou? And the grave would yield no answer, because he has long since died again. Then one by one, Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, Dorcas, Eutychus, each time saying, Where art thou? And the grave would yield no answer. But let me stand at the grave of Jesus and call out, Jesus, thou Son of God, where art thou? The answer would come from heaven, as recorded by the Apostle John in Revelation, when he said, And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead. Then he laid his right hand upon me. Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. The name of Jesus is the only name that can be called the resurrection and the life. And now the most powerful name the world has ever known, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Revelation, John saw a vision of Jesus riding on a white horse. And he hath on his garment and on his thigh a name written in Revelation 19, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is the name of Jesus, a name exalted above every name in heaven and on earth. We should not be surprised that he will come as the King. When he was born a king. The wise men said, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? They wanted to make him king after he fed the 5,000. When he rode into Jerusalem on the day of triumphal entry, he came as king. Listen to the multitude as they cried out, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee." In his prediction of the judgment, in Matthew 25, twice, he is called the king. At his trial, they crowned him with a crown of thorns and kneeled before him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then Jesus confessed himself as king when he said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." And he was also king on the cross. Pilate wrote the sign himself, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." In view of all this, it is natural and expected that he will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On his head, he will be wearing the crowns of many nations because he is the King of everything. When the King comes again, he will come in force. He will have a sword proceeding out of his mouth, and with it he will smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Paul tells us the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, and in Hebrews the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It was the King himself that said in John chapter 12, "The word that I spake unto them, the same shall judge them at the last day." During World War II, a list of leaders of the major nations was in the newspapers. Churchill, Hitler, Roosevelt, Il Duce, Stalin, Tojo. At the end of the list was the question, which one of these world leaders will be the victor in the war? The winner was spelled out at the bottom of the list by the first letters of the six names, C-H-R-I-S-T. Jesus has to be the ultimate winner because God has given unto him a name that is above every name in heaven and on earth, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, in conclusion, the name of Jesus itself is the greatest name of all, greater than any name in heaven and on earth. Napoleon was a great man, but Caesar was just as great. Washington was a great man, but Lincoln was just as great. Edison was a great man, but Einstein was just as great. Jefferson was a great man, but Theodore Roosevelt was just as great. Columbus was a great man, but Lindbergh was just as great. Henry Ford was a great man, but John D. Rockefeller was just as great. Paul was a great man, but Peter was just as great. Abraham was a great man, but David was just as great. But when you name the name of Jesus, that is the greatest name of all. The greatest insult to Jesus Christ is to place another name beside that name, because the name of Jesus is greater than any name this world has ever known. But what does that name mean as far as you are concerned? To the geologist, he may mean the Rock of Ages. To the horticulturist, he is the Lily of the Valley and the Rose of Sharon. To the astronomer, he's the bright and morning star. To the baker, he's the bread of life. To the electrician, he's the light of the world. To the undertaker, he's the resurrection and the life. To the doctor, he's the great physician. To the bride, he's the bridegroom of the church. To the ruler, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To the lawyer, he's the advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But to me, as a Christian, he's the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Wherefore also God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Until next week at the same time, don't forget, tell somebody, somehow, and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.